Welcome to Creative Direction. This podcast was created to celebrate the courage it takes to become an entrepreneur. And we discover how working artists and creatives are making their way. As entrepreneurs, many of us had the desire, but not the roadmap. Creative Direction is meant to explore the diverse voices and approaches to working and making a living. It is our hope that this podcast helps provide some insights that might aid you on your own creative journey. I'm excited to welcome my co-host for this episode, Elijah Teague. He is also our producer and editor for Creative Direction. Welcome to Creative Direction. Welcome to another episode of Creative Direction. Today we're speaking with Lucien Dante Lazar. I hope I said that right. A friend and colleague of Elijah, my co-host here on Creative Direction. Elijah, I'd love for you to introduce Lucien.
Yeah, absolutely, Ross. What's up, Lucien? Thanks again for joining us today on Creative Direction. Really glad we could get you on this. One of my favorite things to hear you talk about is just like when you explain everything that you do. And I mean, you're an incredible painter, illustrator. You do insanely intricate sculpting, felting, and a lot of your work is on a scale that most artists would be terrified of. And on top of that, you're an excellent musician. You have several albums out, multiple languages. You study philosophy, spirituality. You're currently getting your doctorates. You're a true Renaissance man, if I've ever met one. Can you tell our listeners kind of exactly how you describe yourself?
Well, I accept your proposal. How do I describe myself? I think I describe myself as like a freedom seeker. I'm really interested in how human beings can, number one, discover their full potential, but in the context of healthy community and healthy selfhood. So really in my practice, I'm looking at sort of a multi-dimensional way of exploring my own experience as a human being and how I can kind of inspire other people to live into that multi-dimensionality of themselves. And I think this this spectrum of creative work with painting, sculpture, philosophy, music, social work, fashion, movement, all these things kind of bring this like wholeness to one's experience of oneself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the driving force behind my interest in being a part of all these different creative mediums.
So wholeness, is that sort of something that you've kind of developed later on, or is that something that you started earlier, like early college, high school, or is that something newer?
Well, I think that I didn't realize this until I was 25, so I'm 26 now. Mm-hmm. But I went to a Waldorf school, which is founded by Rudolf Steiner, who's an Austrian social reformer, philosopher, architect, educator, so many different things. And I didn't start studying his work until I was 25. And then once I started studying his work, I really realized that my education at Waldorf from K through 10th grade, and I left to go to early college, actually was very informative for me in the ways that he intended it to be. So like, how do we educate children to become self-conscious in the right way, interested in this, this wholeness, this potential of the human being. But it wasn't until I was 25 that I really started studying his work as a philosopher, which really reoriented my art practice out of this sort of like deeply self, like a soulful self-reflection that was kind of having trouble integrating itself into the world. And then it kind of like catapulted into like a social dynamic just last year, where now all my work is really related to how it comes from myself as an individual, but how myself as an individual is working through the social order.
So does that involve more collaboration, do you think, with other people, or is that still you working on individual projects?
Yeah, actually, because of COVID, I think because of all the isolation, the social isolation, I, for the first time in my life, started to kind of like see collaboration as a really healthy potential. So I'm collaborating with two producers on music right now. I'm collaborating with my sister. I'm making a song with her. I'm collaborating with another artist friend. We're making a book on painting and poetry and how they sort of metamorphose from each other. And I recently got involved in this initiative at an anthroposophical cafe in Chicago, where I'm going to be helping design and make the whole interior of the building.
Wow, cool.
That's great. Yeah, so collaboration, I think, I was always kind of afraid of it when I was younger, because when someone's like really, they have a clear vision and they're capable of doing, of executing that vision, it can be hard to like incorporate other people, and that's definitely me. But through COVID, just like loneliness and like, we're learning to see, to like reach out into the world in a way that we haven't before. And for me, that's really resulted in like tons of different collaborative efforts.
Do you find that that's very fulfilling? Like, do you enjoy the collaborative effort? Did it like allay your fears of, you know, not like, you know, they're going to screw up my vision, like it's going to be terrible. Like,
how does, I always hated group projects.
How's that? Well, there is that too. But like, how does that, how's it working for you now?
You know, it comes from both a personal evolution as well as a practical one. On the personal side, my ideas are becoming too expansive for myself. Like, I can't actually execute everything I want to do now. And because I'm interested in so many different fields, I kind of, I just need more hands and more minds and eyes and all this stuff. But then on the, on like the philosophical conceptual side, I think it's really important to learn how to work with people and also value that other people are capable and can offer something new to you. And that was something that I really needed to learn while growing up, especially in a household of six siblings. You kind of like are encouraged to become a staunch individual because you're constantly like in this milieu of all these other personalities. And that can kind of cut you off from wanting to, that can like make you really strive for self-fulfillment, which can make you a little antisocial in a way, as well as very social. But so now I've been learning how to work with people and like really like kind of see what their potential is and what they can offer me and how I can respond to that in a really healthy, organic way. And it's been totally successful.
That's cool. I mean, I think I can definitely relate, even though we do some different practices, like even this podcast, collaborating with Elijah has been like really nice. And it started as like, well, I can't do this by myself, you know, and has evolved to like, Elijah's just kicking ass with questions better than I am, like left and right here. Like, you know, so it's just, it's been kind of a really cool experience, letting go a little bit, but then like gaining so much more, you know?
Yeah.
It's also interesting that this is happening during COVID, when it's like the most isolated time ever. And we're kind of all, I feel like everybody's kind of finding new ways to actually collaborate with people, and it's actually becoming more connected in a way.
Totally, and that's pretty crazy.
But we usually start by asking our guests kind of when they realized that they wanted to be an artist or designer. But I feel like you've been an artist and designer for a lot, for like since you were very young. So I think it'd be easier to ask you kind of, when did you decide that this is what you want to do as a career? And like, when did you think that this would be something you could support yourself with?
Definitely still figuring that out. I started drawing just like from when I was little. And I think the biggest thing that's changed for me while getting older as an artist is finding other ways to be creative, like not just making paintings, not just making drawings, but really getting back to this social aspect of like, how can I, as almost like an entrepreneur, come into a more multifaceted experience of creativity, which definitely involves other people. So one thing that happened when I went to grad school, I just graduated in May, it allowed me to really like enter into this conceptual thinking capacity that I think is like the most beneficial element of getting an MFA is that if you can enter into it in a healthy manner and not let it kind of stifle you, you really get this training in conceptual thinking. And what that allows you to do is understand like how creativity actually permeates multiple facets of culture. And that's how I've started, that's how I started to write philosophy and do social work through art and involve myself in this interior design architecture stuff, which is almost like, it's very integrated into a social sculpture understanding of how like an experience of a space will inform thought or something. So really, I think what like saved me as an artist today and what's gonna continue allowing me to like further my possibilities of supporting myself is this diversifying of my outlets, where it's not just like, I'm gonna hope to sell paintings or I'm gonna hope to sell sculptures, but rather like I'm going to seek out opportunities where more abstract elements of my creative side can be welcomed and embraced and are not just in these like very traditional aspects of art making.
Yeah, that's great. That's a multi-channel revenue stream, right? Yeah. That's very entrepreneurial. If you want to put the corporate words on it, right? I just made it sound uncool. Sorry.
No, I think it's really like accurate because another thing I learned in grad school was that I started to get this feeling that the arts are really starting to enter into the sciences, like economy, like all these different realms of culture that one wouldn't really think are going to benefit from creative thinking. But now what we're realizing is that because of design's relationship with art, art and design are kind of like showing how, I think design, because it's more related to the corporate side of things, and then also to art, it's like this in-between stage. So people are starting to understand how the conceptual side of contemporary art and then the sort of practical side of design are actually real opportunities for all these other aspects of society that need creative thinking in order to actually survive in the world we live in today.
Yeah, like, you know, retail is disappearing and even just the experience and you know, going into an office place. I mean, even after all this, there might even be more opportunities for interior design experiences to incentivize people returning to the workplace, which like a dangerous place currently, you know? It's a wild time we live in to be a creative, you know? That's very cool. That's really interesting.
I think the one thing, or go ahead, Ross. I think the one thing that school, you're talking about that you learned from just being in the realm of education, I feel like it's taught me a lot that, every challenge that we're facing can be almost, can be accomplished through design or art in a way. Even if you're looking at just the biggest things going on right now, looking at like the police brutality, a lot of the suggestions that are being put forth towards anti-policing are pro-design moves or pro-art moves and stuff like that. So it's really interesting. I feel like we're definitely entering into a new space where design and art is starting to take over the general consensus of thinking. A lot more people are starting to rely on that than the old ways, which is really exciting. So do you at this point consider art as a means to making a living, or is it more of a byproduct of kind of your life?
That's kind of like a long-term but also very it's almost like a question about identity. For me, I just like approach the world through creative conceptual thinking. So I can't really separate myself from my artistic experience, I guess, even of thinking in itself. And I'm very much at the point in my life where I'm needing to make this a full-time job. But so far, most of my income from art has come from personal relationships and commissions. Mm. And then the other aspect is volunteer, like for this interior design architecture project. This is like a heartfelt project that's making no money, but it's going to be for a place that will eventually be serving as a cafe, a community center, a art studio. So it's kind of like, how do I, with the time I have and the resources, how do I put myself out there in a way that is not going to make revenue right now, but is more for like a long-term goal? And I think that's like, that's the tricky thing about being an artist today. It's really hard to get a footing in these community, in these industries without familial and external support. Because there's so much, it's almost like right now, a big problem with artists and the industries that they're being involved in, especially contemporary art, is that so much money and time is being put into the artist's work by the artist, and the amount of revenue that's coming back to them is really little. Even with shipping artworks, like smaller galleries don't pay for that kind of stuff.
Right.
So, right now I'm basically just trying to get as much personal commissions as possible so I can support my myself, at least in terms of getting materials for making more work. And then I'm also trying to do all these collaborations so I can kind of get my name out there. But that's like right now the main focus.
So do you feel like you're in a building phase right now, and hopefully it'll reach some sort of critical mass? Is that how you see it?
Yeah, definitely. And actually that's why I decided to do my PhD, because I kind of, in grad school, I realized that I have a philosophical strength in writing. And I realized that my art interests are not so commercial based. So I'm going to have to really kind of sculpt a career that is multifaceted, not just dependent on one outlet, and also unique. So with this philosophy degree, it's a degree in philosophy, cosmology, and consciousness, I'm going to be trying to write about art in a philosophical context. And then I'll open my revenue stream and my career path to publishing. So it's kind of like, I'm definitely in the building blocks of it, but I'm also trying to get a lot of opportunities that I can have like a goal. So like I can make work for an exhibition, or I can write for a publication. If I don't have like these opportunities to give me a reason to make things, then I just get scattered and like never finish projects.
Yeah, having long-term goals is like really important driver for me in general. Do you have anything on the horizon that's like pulling you forward right now, other than I guess like deadlines for that space that you're designing? What's pulling you forward right now?
Yeah, honestly, too many things.
That's a good problem to have, though, right?
Yeah. So one of the projects that I'm doing right now, which is going to be at an exhibition at Elderberry's in Chicago, for a conference called Questions of Courage, and then another conference called How We Will, is this painting series of trees. And I've been, in tandem with this painting, I've been writing philosophies about painting itself. And then, so I'm going to be publishing a book, or producing a book with these paintings and the philosophies with them. And then I'm going to be using these paintings as musical scores from which I'll drive piano music from. There'll be like philosophical texts themselves, almost like look into the paintings, life feeling, and then like speak poetry from them. So it'll be like alive, I call them passages. So that's one thing that's really, and then I'm gonna be proposing that to a gallery in New York for a virtual exhibition to try to like maximize the outlets for it. Another thing I'm doing is this book with my friend on painting and poetry. So that's, we're doing that together. It's not being funded by anyone else, but we're hoping that people will buy that because it's gonna be really interesting. It's basically about how, like I write a poem and then he makes a painting out of my poem and then I make a poem out of his painting, and how like these kind of, it evolves into this narrative of like the written word and the image, and how that can kind of, what that says about painting and poetry itself. And then, yeah, my PhD is starting in just, I think, like 2 weeks. So that's...
What is that focusing on again?
The PhD is at California Institute of Integral Studies in San Francisco, but I'll be doing it virtual because of COVID.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be using my education there in service of like art and philosophy. It's not going to be just this kind of pure literary work. My dissertation is going to be, hopefully, it'll probably change throughout my time there, but it's really going to be like this portfolio of art, music, philosophy, social work, all these things that I'm interested in, spiritual research from Steiner, and how this spectrum of endeavors can cultivate a new education for a new curriculum for higher education. I'm really interested in basically building a new understanding of how like a collegiate system should work, and it'll incorporate, so like in this dissertation I'll be basically making an example of a portfolio that a future student of this curriculum would be expected to produce.
That's very like right brain and left brain like put together. Yeah. Like how do I jam all this creativity into a very practical purpose? That's like wild. One question came up when I was hearing you talk about your PhD is on how your parents feel about all this. Like, hey, mom, dad, I'm going to go be like a philosopher. I'm also going to get multiple degrees to be a philosopher and artist. Like, are they supportive? Or are they kind of like, okay, Lucien, like whatever, you know, like what? How's that?
I mean, my parents are extremely supportive, and that's one of the reasons why I'm able to do this stuff. My dad definitely just thinks I'm like a crazy person. he said actually a few days ago, he was like, he's like this Jewish Chicago man. He's like, I was talking to my friends about you the other day, and I said, he might be wacky, but he's very sincere.
I mean, that sounds like a pretty...
That's very true. I like that a lot.
I wouldn't mind being described like that.
Yeah. I was like, well, I'll take it. And my mom, she's just incredibly supportive. I think she is just really proud and really puts like everything she can into helping me establish this very sort of unconventional winding path of a career that has had a lot of success sort of in terms of the making process, but is definitely taking a long time to really get footing in a practical sense. But I really believe in it. Like, I think ever more today, people really need sort of like an ecological thinking about the world, and not just ecology in terms of nature, but like ecology in terms of just like a spectrum of thought, like how our mind, how our bodies, how our relationships, how our footprint, like how all these things can be understood only through a really sort of expansive, compassionate, loving lens. Like once we enter into this cold thinking of pure science, or this like really wish-washy thinking of emotions or spiritualism or all this kind of stuff, then we kind of get lost. So I'm kind of trying to, I think art and creativity and design, when integrated into these more like hard edge, cold systems, then they can warm those systems and they can like be revitalized and connected back to the human being. But if they kind of stay in this really clinical thought realm and not into this like doing realm or this experiential realm, then they just lose their connection to like what really matters and what we actually feel. So I think that's my endeavor. That's my goal, but it's definitely like, it's taking all of these, I have to be very mobile in my willingness to try different things. And I've been discovering a lot, but it's taken a lot of effort and like constant dedication. Like my day-to-day practice is super structured. And if I kind of like go off of that structure, then the work I need to do just won't get done.
Wow. Can you tell me about that? That's a theme that keeps coming up in these episodes, is like a lot of us as entrepreneurs have to manage our time effectively. And the more people say, like even like really creative people are talking about how the more structure I have in my day, the more I can get towards my goals. Tell us about your day. What's that like?
Yeah. So my day is very structured. I wake up. The only thing that's not structured is the time I wake up, but I end up waking up like around 9:30, or today was 8:30 or something. But when I wake up, I meditate for as long as I need to. It's like around 30 to 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in the meditation, I do a few practices. One is first I get myself in this very calm, peaceful state so I can kind of rightly see what I'm trying to do. Then I like survey my past, some of my past experiences, and I try to witness myself as a stranger so I can get out of my ego. And then I also try to imagine other people as if they were myself. So it's kind of like this, it's like a mobilization of myself. So then after that, I do an exercise where I'll just take like 5 minutes to look at an object and like think about it in a very systematic way. And that helps my ability to think through problems, especially with creativity, like, and constructing things or building layers of paintings. Like there's a lot of strategy involved that if I just am constantly kind of like swimming through it, not really knowing where I'm going, I'm not going to arrive at the image I need to. So it's like, I need to be very clear and all that kind of stuff. So after I do that, then I go downstairs and I usually read a paragraph of philosophy and I write about it. And that usually takes an hour. And then I work on the project I've been working on. So for the past, like, since June, I've been working on these paintings. So basically every single day I've meditated, studied philosophy, painted for 7 to 9 hours. And in that time frame, I'm also writing about the paintings. And then, like, all these other things will come up that I'll have to kind of squeeze in, like, this wonderful interview or meetings on Zoom. The thing that I would recommend to other people is like, yes, structure is important. If you're very ambitious, if you have goals, if you're dedicated to your practice, it's important to be dedicated, but at the same time, it can burn you out. So it's important to just like, if you find a moment where someone's offering you something that takes you away from your practice, that seems like, even if there's like a little inkling of like, oh, I should do this, do it. Like, even if it changes your whole day and you sacrifice that one day to hang out with someone or to go on an adventure, just, I have trouble with saying yes to those things, but whenever I do, I realize that it's actually really fruitful and kind of resets my ability to get back into what I need to. And it also allows me to like have friends. So
friends are good, right?
It's important.
I like friends. I can definitely relate to, I think that's, do you find having that structure makes it easier to deviate from it or harder?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, because I'm working on like too many projects to, think about right now in my head, yeah, I need the structure in order to actually not go insane. And maybe that's like, I shouldn't be working on so many projects, but at this point in my life, I'm kind of desperate to just like succeed. And that's like, in order to succeed, you really need to work and like do more than you think you should, I think maybe. So I think like with the amount of work and the endeavors I have, I need to have structure, but also I need to have freedom in that structure. So that means like not being like so hyper obsessive compulsive about like sticking to your regimen so it becomes like a regime. Yeah. And like allowing for some flexibility, but knowing that like within that flexibility, you also need dedication. So it's, yeah, mm-hmm. It's like breathing. Like you need to find your own pace, which involves like sort of strenuous work and then also like moments of freedom.
I like that. I think the breathing thing is a pretty solid analogy. I mean, like sometimes you breathe a little harder and sometimes you ease up a little bit, you know. I think that's like, but we have to do whatever feels good and figure that way forward. Yeah. That's very cool. It's really fascinating that almost everyone we talk to, no matter what they do, is saying a lot of the similar things to you.
Especially around time management.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. Really important that you can make time for yourself, definitely. Do you have a way of keeping track of like your goals and the stuff you're working on? Is it like a notebook or something, or is it just mostly in your head?
Yeah. So this is a great like question for people who give opportunities to other people in art. Like I'm someone who doesn't need help being inspired to create. Like if anything, I need help like toning down my creative side. So I have just excess amounts of unfinished projects or projects that are finished, but I've gotten lost in my archives. Yeah. Like I'm talking like over like 1,000 projects, probably like hundreds of poems, hundreds of songs, like thousands of drawings, so many different things. I don't have the time to archive. So they just get lost. So what that means is that when I have an opportunity to work towards something that involves not just myself, then I actually finish something and I curate it and archive it and document it so that it can really enter into the world. And that's why I think these collaborations I'm doing right now that are all social have been so fruitful, because they're not just dependent on me. They're really like in the social sphere where I have to acknowledge the work of other people. I've been asking people who have like galleries or who have podcasts, like I asked you, Elijah, to like welcome me into these opportunities, because as creatives, I think someone who's really dedicated to their craft, if they have an opportunity, they'll put in a lot of work to like show up, and they'll they'll give a lot to that opportunity, but all they need is like the opportunity. Then you can like funnel all of this stuff into a realized, really fruitful, like generous offering. So that's what I've been doing recently. And that's actually why these collaborations have been so impactful.
Yeah, I think that's something I've come across in COVID. I mean, a lot of it is just this, and maybe, I don't know, tell me if this resonates with you, but the feeling of waiting to be activated, right? Like, I have all this, like, energy and, you know, creativity ready to go, but, like, the opportunities have been, other than self-directed, have been a little bit less just because of people aren't working as much. Do you feel like you're kind of, like, had struggled a little bit, and then you're like way to be activated, now you're like too activated because you have all these collaborations, or like what's going on there? Am I just a crazy person?
No, you're not crazy at all. I totally relate. I mean, the only thing I would say I wouldn't relate to is I'm like always hyper activated, but what's necessary is that I need to have like a funnel to like focus my activation, basically. And with COVID, I think honestly, like one of the things, I think I've mentioned this before, is like the profound loneliness that can come from like not touching people and not like hugging people. Just like there's like a very sort of practical human element that is bottled up. And I think collaboration, virtual collaboration, really like kind of softens that it almost becomes like a trauma, because like you end up feeling so isolated, especially if you're really creative. At least from my personal experience, when I like make so much work that I don't need other people to tell me to make, I just do it. Then and I never share it. Then I kind of like build this wall of like the world that, like it's the world, my work, and then me. And like the more work I create that I don't end up sharing makes the wall ever thicker. It's almost like the world understands me less because I'm not showing like my growth through my work. So I think like
you're less willing to share, right? Because it's like not having had a conversation for a really long time, and then it's harder to start that conversation again.
Exactly. And like I've actually experienced that with some of my friends during COVID. I'm having to find ways to like kind of artificially but authentically approach them and like update them on what I've been doing, because if I don't, I'm growing so fast and making so fast that like if I don't talk to them about certain things that I'm doing, then there'll be like this ever widening gap between our understanding of each other.
Yeah, and that's part of that constant connection that you used to have. You're trying to it's probably not artificial, just probably is a little extra effort, right?
Yeah, just artificial in terms of like not like going out organically to hang out with someone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's got to be a digital connection instead of a physical one, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling that way right now.
Yeah.
Do you feel like before you hit the next stage in your development where you realized collaboration was important to you, do you feel like your validation was originally from yourself, and then through this collaboration phase, you started to realize that you wanted validation from more people? Or do you feel like your validation has always been yourself first and then others, or kind of where do you find your validation when you're creating?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. It's changed a lot as I've grown older. I think validation, I might switch that word to fulfillment. Mm-hmm. Like my work has always fulfilled me as, this is like my archetype is an artist. So when I like make work, I almost like reflect my own development into the world. And then I can like really learn from, first of all, I can feel like I've like brought myself into the world, like I've incarnated. And then I can also feel that, I understand the world by like seeing how I can sculpt it or like how I can envision myself in it. And for whatever reason, like as an artist, that's just what artists do a lot. Like it's kind of about like mirroring yourself in the world. But the thing that's changed as I've gotten older is how can I make myself more universal by making my art less about myself and more about like form or color or community? Like, how can I use my own development in those ways? And then talk about the world in my work, as opposed to just fulfilling myself as like selfhood in my work. So with validation or fulfillment, it's always been deeply like personal. Like whether it's a compliment from someone else or whether it's just like a love of my work from myself and how it fulfills me, it relates back to like this feeling of healthiness or well-being. Like for me, when I see my work as healthy, when it feels healing in some way, especially when it feels like it's generated a fruitful exchange between me and another person, they don't need to compliment me or anything like that. I just can feel like, oh, this work exists in the world in such a way that makes me feel like my my endeavor was worthy.
Yeah.
So it's ever more entering into just like a meaning state, not like an ego state, like, oh, I like that, or like, thanks for making me feel good, or like, you like that, I'm glad I made you feel good. It's more about like, I'm starting to understand creativity and creative offerings and deeds in sort of a more liberated way from the self, and more of like a autonomous worth. Like, how does that thing autonomously have worth? Does it or does it not? Mm. And that way it feels good to me.
Yeah, for that's really interesting. For me, the question is, it sounds like you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's just another way for you to connect, right? This is all about
totally.
Connect. And if you connect effectively with it one way or another to someone else, then it's done its purpose, right?
Yeah, and even beyond that, like, how does that work help someone connect themselves?
Oh, cool. That's interesting.
Yeah, so, and that's kind of where it separates from, that's why studying philosophy and going to grad school really helped me, because previously my work is very, like, when I say soulful, I mean personal. Like, it was, I was making things that were, like, vibrant and vivid to people, and they were, like, getting, they were reacting to it, but it was still very much about, like, me, like, bringing myself into the world as, like, self-image. But now it's much more about sort of, like, the objective, like, an endeavor to strive towards objective worth in creativity. And that means something very different to every person, but that's like where the philosophy comes in, and studying like form itself and color itself and social engagement itself, and like how those things, how the forces that embody form can be worked to arrive at an image that is not about me, it's about my understanding of form itself. So if I can like understand form and color in such a way that liberates it from my own ego and just kind of like tries to really serve like the potential of healthy form and color, then that can be like an offering to someone else equally as much as it is an offering to me. It's a hard thing to do, and it's very kind of, it can be very abstract. But once it enters into this experiential, like almost an experiential cognitive realm, and not just like a cognitive realm, then you start to experience creativity and creative objects as having a life of their own.
That's wild. That's pretty. That sounds like a difficult pursuit. We usually we ask, you know, like, is there?
I was thinking about that.
Is there a point where you feel like you've made it? You know, but. I feel like
this is a lifelong pursuit.
Maybe sure. Your arrival point is your journey, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Totally. Yeah. I feel like one of the things that I think sets me apart from a lot of contemporary artists is that I don't have like one style. I don't like stick. I never really stick with. In fact, in these philosophies I've been writing about painting, and this painting series will be posted on my Instagram over the next few weeks. I'm actually I'm listening to the work in the painting as a guide to identifying like the aesthetic and style and the mode of creating. So every single painting is like a completely different aesthetic, and it's also a different way of painting. It's a different like method of, it's a different process of painting, like quick or fat or slow, or like multiple layers or drying times, or just like thick strokes or very like faint strokes, or like expressionist or realist. Like there's all these different, I think one of the things I'm interested in is like, how can an individuality become expansive enough that it actually serves the endeavor of art itself rather than like the individual's own personal interest?
Right, how to use all the tools in the toolbox that are make up something that's bigger than you, right?
Yeah, and what that creates is like, oh, like this sculpture wants to be a felted object, I'll learn felting. Oh, this
that's
like
amazing. Sculpture,
yeah, it's like this painting is asking, it wants to be like more textured and minimal. Like, how do I serve sort of the inherent qualities that are arising in that work? And then how do I, through that process, discover that I'm actually more diverse and multifaceted myself than I thought I was?
Mm-hmm. That's wild. That's cool. That's really interesting. I mean, that's I relate to that tremendously, even in some of my still life work where I'm working in a space where you have that dialogue, right? You've got your dialogue with your art and your piece of work. Sometimes I have a dialogue with just the objects in the space and like how they need to be arranged in a certain way to present the feeling, communicate the feeling that the space wants to communicate, that it was the intention of the designer or things like that. So it's interesting that you're communicating on like multiple levels. Like you're communicating with the greater community around you, you're communicating with your collaborators, you're communicating with what does this thing actually want to be, right? That's such a fun and like engaging way to live your life. That's very cool to have that lens, right? I mean, I'm sure you're happy with it. You seem like you are.
Yeah. One of the things that like necessitates is an expanded art practice. Like if your art practice is not just about sort of a self-imposed like endeavor to imprint yourself into something as like a strategy of making, but rather it's like a listening to like the potentials of different materials, then what you're going to have to do is also incorporate like a social and philosophical practice, because what you need to cultivate in order to actually engage in that type of process is things that are not related to art, like things that are related to thinking or things that are related to communication or things that are related to movement, like all these different things. They're actually, I'm kind of interested in how art can tell the human being that the human being needs to be and can be so much bigger than we want to allow other people to be. Like it's like when a friend goes away abroad, they have a really amazing experience and they come back and you struggle to see them as a changed person, but they are clearly changed, and they're like, there's that friction of like, how does that person show you that they're changed if that other person is not willing to allow what's in front of them to be an ever moving mobile expression of life? And with I think like with one of the potentials is of art is that it can really teach us how to constantly perceive like movement and constantly perceive this ever evolving capacity of living things. How we can actually like encounter that capacity is through seeing things as mobile and ever changing. And part of that for me is like actually creating things in a way that is mobile and ever changing and not just fixed.
That's very cool. That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Cool. Well, we want to thank you for being on Creative Direction. Elijah, do you have any more questions for Lucien?
I think I'm good. Did you have anything that you wanted to let our listeners know about, or any projects that are coming up soon that you want people to know about?
I think I've said a lot.
Yeah, I think you mentioned the two books that are coming, which is exciting.
Yes, I'm coming out with this painting philosophy book. I'm coming out with a poetry painting book, which is a collaboration. I'm going to be releasing a lot of music over this next year. Pop music as well as choral music. And I just like to say thank you so much for asking me to do this.
Thanks for being on.
Yeah, it's really like a gift to artists to ask them to speak about what they're doing, not only because it can help the platform that's asking to become more part of the world, but can also help an artist work through their own work through conversation. Mm. I think it's just a really great opportunity.
I hope we're contributing to your dialogue.
You are, totally.
Is there some place people can go to get updates on all these wonderful things that you're doing, like your website?
Yeah, so my website is, I'm still trying, one of like the things I really need to work on is making one website where like it has everything and it's my correct name. But right now, my Instagram, Lucien Dante Lazar Art, I'll start posting those tree paintings soon. My website, Lucien Dante Art, so cut out the Lazar, that hasn't been changed yet. That has a lot of my older work. Most of the things you'll see online right now is work that happened before grad school, or work that happened during grad school that wasn't really a part of this more like expanded context that I'm really involved in now. But yeah, if you follow me on Instagram and you check out my website, you'll definitely be kind of looped into whatever is changing.
Excellent. Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks, man. Have a really great day. Thanks for being on the show.
Appreciate it, Lucien. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks so much.
This podcast is sponsored by Clever Editing. The difference between good content and great content is just a little clever editing. Get a quote today at www.cleverediting.com.